Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we're talking today, and I meant to underline it there, about give us this day our daily bread. Last week was on that word forgiveness. And I heard a lot of comments about, well, you messed up my day today, and I got to go work on this thing. And that's part of what life is all about. Even this little prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is not what you think. I'm not going to preach about going on diets or how many restaurants we go to or those kind of things, because I think there's a deeper message to be found here. I pulled up information on the world's richest man. In 1999, Bill Gates was named the world's richest man, and he had something in the neighborhood of assets and money of $40 billion. As of last year, he wasn't able to do much with that. He only had $88.5 billion in cash and assets and things around the world. I believe William Buffett is number two. So I did a little calculating, and I thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if I could spend just $969,863 a day, or if I could spend $6,789,041 a week, if I could just do that, it'd take me 250 years to spend that kind of money. But most of us aren't going to ever have to worry about that, are we? That's just not going to happen. I got a news flash for you. You're not going to win the lottery. If you do, it's a double tithe. This church. Okay, we get that. Well, most of us struggle at one time or another with money and the needs of our family and life. I still have regrets of a time in our lives when Christy simply needed a pair of tennis shoes. And we didn't have a penny. We were broke. We would have to get rich to be broke. That's how bad it was at that time. And I have flashback moments when I just regret those days. We've all done that. We've probably been there. Things come and go. But I want you to understand, God doesn't. He's not trying to keep us poor. There's nothing wrong with being successful. I know I make comments about these super, super rich people, and maybe I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't worry about that. There's nothing evil about being wealthy and being able to manage your money and be able to do things in life. There's nothing immoral about wanting to have some things in your life that you enjoy. So when I want you to hear this. When Jesus prayed to the Father that we would have our daily bread needs met, I think he was revealing something much deeper about the nature of sin that we have to. So this quote's going to be on the screen. Part of the character and nature of sin, part of who Satan is that we are never satisfied. There, enough is never enough. It's part of sin's nature that I can't be satisfied. I tell people there's two or three things that I don't have control over. Homemade ice cream and pepperoni pizza. Yeah, I just can't get enough. I can be gorged, and I thought, let me have another piece. You know, it's just, you know. But what is enough? What is enough? All of us make decisions. Some of our decisions are between right and wrong. They seem to be a little bit easier. But then there's those decisions between good and better, and sometimes best. They're harder. We have to make them every day. I was in line. And here's a young woman, young lady, and she's got a child in this arm, and I'm behind. I'm just watching. And she's paying for a number of things with her EBT card thingy, milk, and she had chips, and she had some other things there on the counter and everything, and child's got a snack cake in her hand and whatever, and that's fine. And when that transaction was over, the same woman reached in her pocket and pulled out three $20 bills, said, "I'll take that carton of cigarettes." And I thought to myself, our daily bread means making better decisions. I grieve for her. I'll be honest with you. I grieve for that kind of spirit that doesn't recognize that this is a very important prayer in our lives. I stumbled across in one of my SIPs, S-I-P, a sermons in preparation file. I stumbled across these questions that I wrote down on a card I don't know how long ago. And the questions go like this. Do we really want the kingdom of God to come? Or is our life, the way we live today, are we really wanting the kingdom of God to come? Or are we wanting to build our own kingdom on earth? Are the things that we have more important to us than the kingdom of God that has come? So secondly, do we want it to come? Secondly, do we expect it to come? Do we truly believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Which leads me to the third question, are we prepared for the kingdom of God to come? And we need to be prepared. And how do we prepare ourselves? By recognizing what Jesus Christ did on the cross when He died for our sins. He was buried in the grave. He arose from the tomb. He's ascended to heaven. He's preparing a place for us. And He's coming again. By asking Him to forgive me of my sins, receiving His forgiveness, and making Him the Lord of my life, following with the baptism, and then getting involved and committed in the church and serving Him in the days to come. Are we prepared? So if He did come, would we be shocked? Would we be caught off guard? That's a good question to ask ourselves. So maybe when we pray the prayer, Lord, give me this day my daily bread, what we really ought to be praying is something like this. Lord, help me to use what I have more wisely. Help me to be prepared. Lord, show me how to use what You've given me already so that the prayer for daily bread is mute. I don't have to worry. So that all of my life will be all about Your kingdom, or the kingdom. So now, if you've been following, if you opened your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord's Prayer is listed, I want you to go there and go down to verse number 19, where He actually talks about this concept of the daily bread. Let me just read it real quickly. He says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal." Verse 20 says, "But store up for yourself treasures in heaven where the moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves can't break in and steal. For where your..." And here's the key to the daily bread prayer. "For where your treasure is, there is your heart also." So He does a little illustration here. He says, the eye here, what we see and hope for and yearn for and desire, the eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are good, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body is going to be filled with darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How bad has it gotten for you? And then He finishes up this. He says, "No man can serve two masters." And that's what we're talking about. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and what King James says, mammon, or money, or the desire for that to be your king in life. And so I thought about that. So today I have one point. I had no idea we'd be all this. I do. I just have one point that comes from this daily bread prayer mentality. And here it is. What we focus on impacts our prayer for daily bread. There it is. What we focus on, what we desire the most, what we seek to find. Charles Swindoll, now I don't know this book, and I forgot to write down the note. Charles Swindoll wrote a book a long time ago. He's written many. And in it, there's a story of a restaurant in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, I didn't check to see if this restaurant was still in existence, because this book was written a number of years ago. But the name of the restaurant was the Church of God Grill. Does anybody know that? Has anybody ever been there? It's been a number of years ago. And so in the book, he tells the story that somebody goes to the Church of God Grill, and he just thoroughly enjoyed the food. It was excellent. And so as he goes to the register to pay his bill and leave a tip and to leave, he strikes up a conversation, and that just happens to be one of the original members of the Church of God Grill. And he said, well, how in the world did you get this name, the Church of God Grill? I don't see a church here. And the man behind the counter says, well, there used to be a church here. And we were struggling. Notice I said we. He said, we were struggling. And we couldn't pay our bills. And so we came up with an idea that we'll do an after-church fried chicken dinner. And they started. They had a after church fried chicken dinner. It was so successful, they said, let's do it next month. And next month they did that. And then they started doing it every month. And the money just started coming in, and they started doing it every week. And eventually they took up space from the fellowship hall and some of the Sunday school rooms, and they had tables set up, and their priority became the Church of God Grill. And he said, well, what happened to the church? Oh, we closed that long time ago. There's the point. What was their focus? They got off focus. Wasn't nothing wrong with those fried chicken dinners. Wasn't nothing wrong with trying to raise funds so they could worship the Lord and minister in that community and serve God for the kingdom. But they forgot why they were doing it, and it became a different thing. The church was long, long gone. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. It'll be on the screen. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about that. Where Christ sits at the right hand in the place of honor and the place of power. And then the other one I underlined was, let heaven fill your thoughts. Don't think only about things down on this earth, for you died when Christ died, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. There's two thoughts I underlined there real quick. One is to set your sights on the realities of heaven. Do you really want the kingdom of God to come? Do you really expect the kingdom of God to come? Are you really prepared for the kingdom of God to come? If it did, would you be shocked? Well, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we hear that shout, which may be that trumpet, and the skies are our whole, the whole world. And I don't understand how this can happen, but God, with God, all things are possible. When that happens, everybody's eye will be looking upward. And there we will see Him, Jesus Christ, God's only Son, descending to the earth. And there will be so much calamity and so much excitement and so much going on that we will not look down anymore. We won't know who's standing on the right or the left. It will happen. Are you heaven bound? If you're focused on the realities of heaven, when that happens, you'll know what's going on. When others are shouting, well, what's going on? You know, the earthquake scene in the Passion. What's happening? What's happening? Somebody says, it's an earthquake. No, we'll know what's going on. But others may not. Because they don't want it. They don't expect it, and they're not prepared for it. But we need to fill our hearts and our minds and our souls with thoughts of heaven. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable, and think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And if we do that, if our mind is heavenly minded, then our eyes will be seeing only things that are good. Our soul will be filled with the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayers for daily bread will be those which please our Heavenly Father. Therefore, if our eyes are focused on heaven, then our prayers for daily bread will be prayers filled with light and not darkness, not necessarily on ourselves, but always on the kingdom of God. Tuesday morning, we had staff meeting late this week because Monday, we just had stuff going on Monday. Ray was driving one way and I'm driving another way. So we did staff meeting Tuesday morning. And I have this devotion that I'm working through. I'm thinking about giving to the deacons and having a 21-day period where we devote together on the same thing. I'm working through it right now. And in there, you come to that part where you, what are your thoughts, you know, and what are your questions? What came to your mind? And I wrote down these three questions. I said, Ray, if you could wish for anything, and I said it for myself, Ruth, Linda, and also, if I could wish for one thing, what would it, for College Street Baptist Church, what would that one thing be? And lots of things come to mind. And then I said, what would I be willing to do to help make that one thing come true? What would I sacrifice? What would I give to it? But then I said, are those two questions and the answer to them things that bring God honor? See, not everything we do necessarily brings God honor. I'm so thrilled that what we saw with the children's camp last week, 12 children going. I hope that next year we have 24 children going. I hope that we have to beg you to, I don't hope we have to beg you. I hope that people be standing in line to go just like Zach did. Hey, this guy's being transformed. I tell you, the Lord's working in his life also. And what John's doing with our youth group and what Jennifer's been doing and Donovan and what Alan's so excited about this camping trip. I'm telling you, he's an outdoor guy, and they're going to get up there. I'm talking to Wes. Well, Donovan and I are going to use the air-conditioned motorhome he's got. No. It's exciting to see what's happening and bringing glory to God because these children are seeing the example. I like what I think Alan said last week about so these kids can see what a Christian man is like. So these girls, when they go to Shannon's, and you know, they do the frou-frou thing like I do every morning, get my pink. What a Christian woman is like. That's the example. This is what praying for daily bread is all about. Being able to do that thing God called us to do. There's a pastor named Matthew Rogers. He wrote a book and thing, and I read his list of things, and it began to spur my thinking about these questions, about praying for daily bread. Am I preoccupied with the wrong things, things of this world? Is my attitude about what I'm praying about, is it right? Is my life out of control? Am I letting things get in the way? Or cause confusion. You know, you can't have 20 priorities in your life. May I suggest you can't have 10? May I suggest, ultimately, as a child of God, we should only have one. And all these other things will take care of themselves. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. Our families will be cared for. There will be bread and drink on our tables. We will have jobs to do. We will have health. And even if those things fail us, we still have our priority to serve God. So you know Ray Heiler. Love you, brother. He's got me into so many bees. I don't know which bee's coming or going. Don't look at my backyard. My neighbors are beginning to wonder, when are you moving? There's a story of a woman in St. Louis, Missouri, who went up, pulled down, you know, that cord, and the little ladder, and she went up to put a couple of boxes in her attic one spring, and she did notice a couple of honeybees flying around in there, but she didn't think much about it, because what I learned is, till you get into honeybees, bees are bees, and they all need to be dead. Okay, that's okay. My perspective on that has totally changed, but she got down out of there, she closed it up, and she didn't think another thing about it. What she didn't know is those bees had been in her attic for a long, long time, maybe several years. But they had built a honeycomb at one end of the house that was massive. And in the fall of that year, she didn't go upstairs very often. In the fall of that year, there was this massive collapse of one side of the roof ceiling, upper floor of her house. It just crashed to the floor under hundreds and hundreds of pounds of honey and honeycomb. And then bees went all through the house. If you mess with bees, they will swarm you. So it's all over. This house was literally destroyed because she neglected those few bees she saw when she first saw them. So you can go into a place and you can find them, and I'm learning how to capture swarms. And I'm looking forward to my first one where I go to somebody's house and get them out of a house. There's all kinds of ways to do that. But if you neglect it, it's a problem. If you don't, you know, take care of things, it's a problem. The old saying, if you don't do what you can do today and put it off to tomorrow, you will put it off to the next day. It's what about our spiritual life and our prayer for daily bread? And God may say, okay, now get up and do this by faith so that your prayers will be taken care of. When we pray for our daily bread, there may be things we need to do today. We don't need to neglect it. We've seen a sign, and we need to take care of it. But are we preoccupied with worldly things? Is our attitude bad? Is our eyesight poor, spiritual eyesight? Are we living a life that's out of control? And on and on and on we go. There was two criminologists. One was named James Wilson. One was named George Kelling. And they did a research project and a study in New York City. And basically they said that they found that in areas where neglect was found, where broken windows were not repaired, where buildings were neglected, where graffiti was everywhere, where there was trash in the streets, that people got a sense that nobody cared, and so the crime rate went out the ceiling. And the application of that in our spiritual lives is if we don't repair the broken windows, we don't turn on the light of God's Word, if we don't remove the graffiti of our sin, if we let things take over in our lives, then sin rises in our life. If you neglect your car, you don't do routine maintenance, you hear something bad and you don't fix it, sooner or later, it will be bad. It'll get worse. Betsy's got a rubber thing under the engine that's hitting the ground, and I've just been too lazy to go out there and try to figure out what's come loose. It's just a protecting thing. And so I got to get under there and fix that thing. About 3 years ago when I had my second, what I think now is the second episode with my tachycardia attack and everything, I was standing right there on Wednesday night doing prayer meeting, and it hit me. And I just muddled through. I don't know what I got through that night. I finished. I had to go to a finance committee meeting. After that, Betsy's in choir. I go home. I've been sitting there. I couldn't find the blood pressure cuff. I had a splitting headache. I felt nauseated. My arm was hurting. And I just was sitting there in my lounge chair. Betsy comes in the house. We run to CVS. And they're trying to lock the door. And I said, excuse me, I'm going to the blood pressure cuff. And I got that, and I had an unreasonable thing. And I texted to Ray Heiler, who happened to be in ER that night. Well, he thought I was just messing with him, and he didn't see it immediately. So we get back to the house, and I'm sitting back down there again. I'm still feeling, I don't know what to do. Maybe I've got to go to the hospital. Maybe I need to call them. Maybe I need to do this. Neglect, neglect, neglect. When he saw what I sent him, he said, get over here. Now. And I had that racing heartbeat. I had all that stuff going on. They had to stop it. But later that evening, he takes me upstairs to a room for the night. And I said, Ray, had I not come when I came, what would have happened? And his very pastoral medical bedside manner, he said, you would have died. Neglect. See, our prayer for daily bread is often misguided because we've neglected the light through our eyes to see Jesus. Yeah, sometimes things go bad. Sometimes things go wrong. But we need to pray for our daily bread based on our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I was reading about Henry Blackaby. And he left a church where he was just making phenomenal salary. They had just given him a bonus. They had done all these things in Southern California. And he went to Canada to a church that had like 13 people. They couldn't pay for anything. He and a worship leader and their wives and their children doubled in one night when they arrived the size of that church. That church had a sign out front that said, for sale. He prayed, Lord, you've brought me here. You will provide my daily bread. The next day, a car drives up, and there's a couple of men in that car. They're from about 70 miles away, and they came and said, we want you to pastor our church also, and we'll pay your salary. Wow. And you know the rest of the story. Henry Blackaby is the one who wrote the book, Experiencing God. And now his son and others are carrying on the mantle. Have you prayed that kind of prayer where you just step out in faith? Because see, he prayed the prayer for daily bread in California long before he got there. Have you prayed that kind of prayer? That's what I think Jesus is calling us to do. To step out in faith because God will provide. Let's pray. Lord, as we stand in your presence and recognize that we probably aren't needy people, not from the worldly viewpoint, not from the need to have food on our table or clothes on our back, but we are a needy people as we walk with you daily and you begin to share with us how we are to impact the kingdom of God. Help us to not only want it to come, expect it to come, but be prepared when it comes and not be overwhelmed when the kingdom of God arrives here for all eternity. Now, Lord, in this room, if there's anyone or many who've never asked Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, committed themselves to you, wanted to follow in baptism, wanted to get involved, may this be the moment while we sing, they come forward and say, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord and Savior. I will give him my life right now. I will ask him to forgive my sin, and I will follow through with baptism, and I will serve you, Lord, wherever you send me. If there are those who need to join this church, make this their place of ministry, their home of play. This is the time, Lord, we want them to come. If others need to pray, they can come to the altar, Lord, but we just need to feel your presence now. As the music says, to go to higher ground than we've ever been before. So we pray for our daily bread so that your kingdom will come and we will be prepared and others also. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. You can't be on any higher ground than when you walk in the footsteps that Jesus leads you in. And as you pray, Lord, for that daily bread, prepare for what God may say next, where God may send you, where God may ask you to serve. Father, as we are dismissed, we thank you for your love and mercy and your grace and your power in this place, the celebration of these children, the recommitment of our lives to you, Lord, the kingdom. We give glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.